We're here at the Edinburgh Fringe at Assembly Roxy, and I always like people to say their own names, and I'm here with...
Guy Masterson.
And...
Hannah Ellis.
And we're going to talk about Dylan Thomas, the man and the myth. And I guess my first question I'd like to ask you, Hannah, is, as somebody that has Dylan Thomas in your family, you know, now as an ancestor, in a way, does he cast more light than shadow, or more shadow than light into your family now?
Oh, more light, without a doubt, more light. I think just being able to say that he's my grandpa, really, is just with immense pride, because he really was a genius. His writing is just amazing, and to be able to sort of actually see that carry on in my own little boy, he's got such a magical ability with language, and he plays about with it, and I know that's because of his great-grandfather, and it's just so yeah, definitely a light, and also a feeling that I can say my grandpa was Dylan Thomas. It's something that very few other people can say.
But are there memories of him?
No, I haven't got any memories. I didn't meet him, but my mum met him, and so she shared lots of memories. And actually, her memories of him very much that he shared his love of literature with her. So they read stories together and rhymes, and she just actually he comes across as a bit of a. He let my mum's mum do lots of things. He comes across actually as a bit of a wimp, really, in a positive way, you know, in the sense that he was so focused on his writing that my grandma did the mothering, but in mum described a story I know about going for a walk with her father, and they just walked in silence, but not because they were uncomfortable, but because they were so relaxed with each other. They were just looking around, enjoying it, and just enjoying each other's company. And I know that feeling. I can really understand that. It's just so lovely to... And I suppose I've walked with my mum in a similar way when she was alive. And it's just that feeling of sharing the view, sharing the time, and being completely content.
So in your family days now, you know, where do you put not only his work, but the fact that people are performing his work, that you can buy recordings of his work, that there are films about him? I mean, does that ever weigh down at all, or is that always, does that feel all right?
I think it used to, I said to Guy, and I say in the show, I think it is quite intimidating being related to someone, a literary genius, really. And
She's not talking about you there, Guy, by the way.
No, Sandy.
and you do actually... Sometimes you do get compared, and so it is... I don't want to be compared. I want to be seen as Hannah Ellis, not Hannah Ellis who writes like Dylan Thomas. I do my own style, and that is a little intimidating and difficult. But then... And it is also difficult seeing... I actually find it quite hard seeing some of the... biopics, because I get quite emotional, and it is something I can't explain, because seeing your grandparents behaving a certain way and then knowing the long-term impact, it's my grandfather's death when you see it unfolding and you see it, it's going to happen, and you're trying to stop it, and you just can't stop it. You're so desperate to stop it because you know the impact of that death later on. But then you also think, had he not died at that point, would I even be here? Because my mum's life might have taken a very different direction. Mm. So it's a very surreal feeling.
Mm. Now, is he in one place on all the shelves, or is he mixed in with all the other books at home?
This is at my parents' house, really. Yes. Yeah, in my house, my collection's just beginning, and I've got just a whole bookshelf. Yeah. But he is slowly getting integrated, because I'll get a book and put it in different places. So he is there, or I've got a picture of a stamp on top of with Dylan on it on top of things. So he is getting integrated, or I've got the big Sgt. Pepper's Beatles album, and that's up on one of the walls. But at my parents' house, I don't think there's a bookshelf that doesn't have my grandfather's work translated into Italian or Chinese or whatever language, and biographies, his work. Work by people that knew him. It's just jam-packed.
So you who have that, you know, that inheritance, and you have your own writing and you have your own work, can you take us to the moment where some bloke asked you to get involved in the theatre project?
Yeah, this was in October 2014, so it was around the time of my grandfather's 100th birthday. Guy and I performed a show at the British Council. It wasn't a show, actually. It was a lecture that I wrote, and I knew of Guy, and I contacted him and said, Guy, will you perform the acting parts? Because I know you will do justice to my grandfather's life.
So you got him in. Oh, I like this.
And we did the show, and afterwards, Guy came up to me and said, Hannah, there's a show in this. And from then on, yeah, Guy drove it forward, really.
Magic words.
Yeah.
So I'm interested from as a theatre maker as well. So you see a talk, you're a showmaker. What did you identify that made you think there's a show in this?
Because people are interested, and people love hearing the stories of Dylan Thomas, and there's an authenticity about Hannah's involvement, which is bigger than a lecture. There is a theatrical element to Dylan's work, and I've always said that Dylan's work needs to be heard, not just read. And I've always been an exponent of his work and taking it around the world. And I just feel this is another layer for people to access the real Dylan Thomas. And also, on a more global scale, it's access to how a genius writer functions and what their influences are. What makes them what they are? And with Dylan, that's a particularly interesting set of factors because of his extraordinary and romanticised upbringing.
But for you, who's done the full fat versions of, you know, this stuff, I mean, you couldn't not do this, could you?
Well, I've known Hannah for years, and you know, when we worked together on those lectures, I just felt that we had such a good rapport, and there is a lovely juxtaposition between her telling the truth and my illustration. So it's not... The great thing about this is not about me and my performance. This is about Dylan's words and illustrating his life.
I think it's also... Because Guy said me telling the truth. I don't... It's my truth, I suppose, because it's so difficult to actually know what the truth is anymore. But I can only give what I know from knowing people that knew Dylan, my family, and seeing my family. Because you see... You understand a situation you've read about if you imagine a family member who's very similar to that person being in that situation. So it's the truth which I feel. Mm. And it's an instinctual thing. It's an emotional thing. And it's a very personal thing. Mm. But I also use fact and things I've heard as well. But I also question some of the myths within it.
It's interesting because that actually brings up the fact that I directed a play about my uncle years ago, and I'd had a particular period where I had known Richard very closely, and he told me things which I don't believe he actually told anybody else. In fact, I've not come across anybody else in the family or outside who knew the kind of stuff that he told me. So I was able to bring to that play, bring to bear on that play, an experience of him that otherwise wouldn't be available. And that really shone through Josh's performance and gave it an authenticity. And also it gave me a chance to address the issues surrounding his death and this awful thing that used to be said about Uncle Richard, that he wasted his talent. And very few people know how generous he was, and the houses he bought for all his family, and the money that he gave away, and the charities he supported. So it gave me a little chance to address that, and also to show the private side of Richard. Now, of course, it was a different story, because in this Dylan Thomas, the man, the myth, I am not playing Dylan Thomas. So we're getting a flavour of the man through the stories about him.
Some great sound effects going on here.
Yeah, we're okay.
Keep going.
And so it's you know, we're not purporting to be Dylan Thomas. Well, that's all right. They're lovely.
I like it when people interrupt Guy. Actually, it's good. Good for him.
yeah. Good for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not standing up being Dylan Thomas. So people are garnering an idea, or creating an idea about the real Dylan Thomas from what Hannah is saying, and from the soul and genius of his words.
And I know guys say he's not playing Dylan Thomas, and I'm not playing Hannah Ellis. I am Hannah Ellis, and that's a difference. And so I'm really that's the difference. You haven't. I'm not an actress. I'm not. What you're going to see is truth. I'm not going to. I'm going to totally be myself, and that's all I can be. And that one thing, I'm always honest, truthful, and passionate. And that's what I want. Those things I want to come across in the show, and I hope they do.
And I guess that links to this question, which is, apart from there are obvious challenges about working with somebody who would say, I'm not an actor, I'm being myself. But that also opens up an opportunity to do something interesting in theatre, doesn't it? That, you know, you can't do if Hannah was being played by somebody.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are elements to the technique of communicating with an audience that we need to build in, and Hannah and I are working on those aspects. But what the pure authenticity of Hannah's involvement brings is that truth, and that people buy into that truth from the moment they walk in. They don't have to sort of say, well, how like Hannah Ellis is Hannah being? She just is, and so they buy right away that truth, and so you start, you kick the story off from the word go. No one disbelieves it, and they run with it.
But in terms of being the director of that and being directed, so just take us into the early rehearsal. But, you know, how do you visualize that happening on the stage?
Well, I had a very, it was going to always be a very simple simple style. We were going to have slides, and Hannah was going to speak to the audience, and I was going to jump in and illustrate. So it's a very simple formula. I didn't want to overwhelm Hannah with any great theatricality. I didn't want to create a sort of a living room situation and anything dramatic, and I didn't want Hannah to have to feel the pressure of having to learn the words. So I wanted it just to be as relaxed and as open and as friendly and as communicative as possible, so that the truth of Dylan Thomas can sing.
But I guess also, you know, you can't learn the words if you're being you.
Yeah, I suppose so. It is, I think, because if I read it enough, eventually, hopefully, I'll know it and I'll be able to take away the iPad and just talk to the audience, and that would be great. Because I sort of, I've been talking to Guy and I said, I think it would work. Someone was saying in an armchair, and I said, yeah, I agree. It would work in an armchair if we maybe had photos of the family and a cup of tea or a glass of wine, or pretend one, on stage. And I just think, and I've asked Guy that he's putting the lights down so I can see the faces of the people I'm talking to, because I really want to bring them in, and I want to be myself. And I'm trying different techniques, and it's the pace of the piece that I'm just trying to get my head around. That's the hardest thing for me, is ensuring that I'm true to myself, but when I get emotional, that I don't slow down, because I do. I know I do that anyway when I speak normally, so I've got to work on that.
Techniques.
But you don't want it too printed, do you? You
no,
don't want
not
it
at all.
Because of that truth that we're talking about here. So it's going to have to vary a bit, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But there is technique of communicating with an audience. People have paid a ticket and they're sitting looking at you, and you're speaking the words. So there is an artifice to that. So there is a respect that you have to pay to that convention. And there are techniques involved with making that as natural as possible. So you've got to give a nod to those techniques, and you've also then got to retain your naturalism.
It's strange, because I've been a bit anxious about making sure I get it right and doing things, and I just had a text just about 10 minutes ago from my husband, and he just said, just be yourself. And so that's the best advice from my husband, to be myself, and then I will try and get the technique right around that.
Yeah. So you've done loads of Dylan Thomas. You've gone on your own for, you know, a good hour or so, and the audience have loved it. But what's it like being on stage now and being cued in by someone in the Blood family?
I love it. I mean, the thing which buoys me up is the respect that Hannah obviously pays me, and she loves what I do with her grandfather's work, and that makes me feel fabulous.
Final question to Hannah. This sounds almost like a cheesy question, but you might be able to, you know, give your own unique answer to it, which is, you know, a lot of writers have come and gone, and some have lingered on, and some have stayed on, and they're going to stay on for a long time, and Dylan Thomas is one of them. What's in there that we're still, you know, loving it in 2015?
I think in terms of the characters, I think that they're so human. I think that's, you know, you've got flaws and all, and we love that. We love that they've got flaws and they're not perfect. And he's just picked up something that's universal with his characters, that you can put them in any, even though it's so quintessentially Welsh, you can also put those characters anywhere in the world and they would fit in. So I think they're so human. But I think there's also something about his writing. He's done something with words. He's played about with them. And he's stuck, had a rule, a certain, like a villanelle, for example, do not go gentle into that goodnight. But then he's played around with those words and made them his own. And he was such a perfectionist. He was such a craftsman. And there's something about those pieces, those poems, that really, they just, they touch people. People are so moved. And you, when Guy reads, you might see people having a few tears, or you'll hear a afterwards. And it's just something, the poem at the moment that seems to be coming alive after the centenary is Do Not Go Gentle Into That Goodnight. But it's really, people are really falling in love with that again.
And it is, what makes that poem special is not just that it's structurally a perfect villanelle, it's that he captures something so universal in it, the loss of your father and the loss of life and fighting against the dying of the light, which makes me tear up right now thinking of my father. But he captures all that emotion in that piece, and it builds and builds and builds. I don't think there's another villanelle that I have read that does that at the same time as being perfect.
And you're not going to get a word of it on this interview. You're going to have to come and see it. But to the children who wonderfully interrupted this, and who hopefully are going to be listening to Dylan Thomas when they're at school at some point,
in the future.
Or performers, and to Hannah and to Guy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.